Emily Rapp was born with a birth defect that required she have her foot amputated when she was 4. Then at age 8, after dozens of operations, she lost the rest of her leg. It was during this time she became the poster child for the March of Dimes. Always perky, always smiling, she gave pep talks and cut ribbons, her red hair in pigtails, her freckles juxtaposed with her wooden leg. Emily Rapp chronicles her experiences with, as she puts it, my grievous irrevocable flaw, in her memoir called Poster Child. Anne Strainchamps asked Emily what the first memory of her body was.
That's a good question. My first memory of my body is probably being immobile in a hospital bed and seeing a nightlight on in the hallway and lots of nurses. And I do vividly remember being in a body cast and how that felt.
How did it feel?
Itchy and smelly. It was very smelly. And sort of this idea that, very conscious of it, I guess. So early on, I was very self-conscious of the body. And then I think after that, I just, you know, just was. And I also remember when I had my first leg, which was wooden, the relief of taking it off at night and sort of feeling like I had two bodies, the one that I wore the leg with and then the one that I sort of hopped around without at night. And I remember just feeling really free at that time. Whenever I would take it off at night, it was kind of a relief.
That memory of the one of the first operations, the first big operation happened when you were 4, right? When
yes,
your foot
that's
was
right.
amputated?
Yeah, that was the first big one. I had, it's so funny because I just wrote a book about this and I'm like, now how did that go? I had another one right before that was sort of a prep operation, a hip operation. And then I had the amputation when I was 4. And I do have some memories of that. But again, it's hard to know how much of it is a story that was told to me and how much of it is a vivid memory.
Do you remember missing your foot?
I do remember that. I remember the phantom limb pains, and I remember being confused. I remember that they showed me the doll, and they were like, you know, your foot's going to go away. And I was just like, what? It's a doll without a one leg. What's up? You know? So, yeah, I do remember that. But, you know, they're not the funny thing is that they're not sad memories so much. They're just,
really?
No.
Because they sound heartbreaking to adults hearing them now.
I think to adults, but I think that, you know, when you're a child, you have the body that you have, right?
Mm-hmm.
So whatever shape it takes, whatever it is, it is. At that time, you're not aware of sort of what bodies are good and what bodies are bad. It's just that people are people, which is one of the gifts of childhood that we're, you know, all constantly trying to recover as adults, I think. So I think at the time I was just like, oh, here it is, you know, and my parents were like, this is what it is and we're going to deal with it. And fortunately, I had parents that sort of let me be who I was. And even if that meant, you know, scarring up the leg and like tripping over things and having incidents, they were just like, yeah, you want to go roller skating? Great, go ahead. You know,
and this was so, around the time you became the title of your book,
Poster Child.
You became the poster
six.
Child
That's
for
right.
March of Dimes.
At 6. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So. And well, what do you remember about that time?
I remember feeling like a diva. It was awesome. You know, people were coming to my house and they were taking pictures and it was all about me. And, you know, I got to go, you know, I would go and cut ribbons at the opening of a new hardware store or something really small town. And, the people from the local newspaper would be there.
The way you describe it in the book, there's sort of a shadow side to this.
Absolutely.
The way you describe it in the book is that's sort of the beginning of when you began to need to be special.
Exactly. Well, the flip side, or the as you say, the shadow side of the whole poster child phenomena is that, you know, poster children, which there aren't anymore, it's now called ambassador families by the March of Dimes. So I think they've sort of revisited what that means. But you serve as kind of a reflection for people's worst fears. So they look at a child with a disability and they think, oh, I'm going to give money to this organization so that that doesn't happen to my child. So what does that make the child who is being sort of presented on this pedestal? It's problematic for obvious reasons. But I think that's the role that disabled people have often played in society, is that people think, well, thank God I don't have a disability. And they think, oh, you know, there's a pity and revulsion combination. When the reality is that all of us will have disabilities before we die. In some way or another. So the idea that there's a category of us and them is an arbitrary thing meant to sustain people's illusions about health and well-being and, you know, that they have control over their bodies. And people with disabilities know that that's actually not true. Mm-hmm. So in a way, it's a gift. You know, I guess I'll age better. Because I know, I'll know that, you know,
you've already come to terms.
The body is a fallible
thing. Things that it takes other people.
Yeah. And in this culture, especially American culture, where, you know, there's, especially for women, there's this idea that you should control your body. And your happiness sort of rests on how much you can control your body and how it looks and that kind of thing. And so I think a lot of women do identify with that part of my book, this perfection illusion, the quest for perfection, which is a ridiculous quest and pointless, but yet we do it. So,
well, I was thinking that there's this, you know, this tension in your story. On the one hand, this powerful drive to say, I can do anything.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. You know, that I can swim, I can jump, I can ride a bike, I can roller skate, I can ski, I can achieve, I can go to college, I can do anything.
Yes. But who can do anything? Like, that's the irony, is that I think people with disabilities, in their quest to overcompensate, to say, well, I'm just like you, I'm just like you. In order to be normal, you have to be, like, super normal. And there's a term for that in the disabled community called super crip, like the super cripple, the super gimp. And the idea is that if by being so great, you approximate a level of normalness that other people just have as a result of having a whole, quote, body.
Is that what you set out to be?
I think I probably did. And of course, then I was like, this isn't going to work, because no matter what I do, no matter how hard I try, no matter how many A's I get or, you know, scholarships I win, I will always have an artificial leg. And I really didn't like that answer. When I came to that conclusion, I was just really unhappy with it. And so then, you know, when I was in Korea, when I came to that conclusion, ultimately, I had to sort of say, you know, I'm 21 now and I better get a grip on this, or some of the patterns that I'm setting now will continue down a road that is dark and self-loathing, and I don't want to go there.
How did you feel about the leg itself?
I hated it. I mean, I never wore, like, short skirts or shorts, or I just didn't. I didn't like to look at it. And sometimes I would, you know, look at myself in the mirror, and, like, what I saw in the mirror didn't match the way I sort of saw myself. Because, like most people with disabilities, it's like, it's a part of my identity. And of course, in this book, it's like paramount. But on a day-to-day basis now, it's just like, whatever, you get on with it, right? But yeah, I really, and it was a pretty clunky wooden sort of basic leg at that time. So I was just like, you know, just wanted to get it off. And now I have more fondness for it. And I've tried to sort of understand that it's part of my body and, you know, trying to do all that kind of work around it. But it is interesting. It's interesting to be reliant on something external to you and absolutely need it, but then also resent it at the same time.
Emily Rapp's memoir is called Poster Child, and Strainsham spoke with her.